Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for March 8th in the year 2022. I'm your host, Joe McElvain. If those others on the call want to go ahead and say their name so that people listening along later can associate a name to the voice, now is a good time for that.
I'm Ryan Higginson.
I'm Chris Silva.
I'm Rhett Davis.
Great. And Christopher, if you said something, we didn't, I saw you unmute, but we didn't hear your voice. If do you may have a microphone issue perhaps, or a volume issue, but just to let you know in case you're saying something later and we don't notice, that might be the reason. Great. So let's take a look at our auto-generated agenda for today. Let's begin in, as we traditionally do, in the RFC's repo. So in the ponyslang/RFC's repo, we have a pull request 200 from our very own Ryan Higginson, expand math package. This has seen some additional work in the past few days. I have not had a chance to look at this in detail, but Ryan, is there anything you wanted to discuss with us here on the call today?
Sort of. I have a mind of splitting this RFC into smaller dedicated RFCs and transforming this one into the introduction of new numeric types into built-in rather than in math, adding, you know, a rational, a complex, a big int, a big float. I think those are the ones that I have added. But there's an associated mermaid plot for like where in the numeric hierarchy those would get added. Are there any thoughts on like natural divides for expanding numerics and math?
Can I ask about the rationale for wanting to put it put the new types in built in?
Because they are existing within the numerics type hierarchy already, I think it makes more sense to have them there alongside the other numerics than have these extensions to our numeric hierarchy that just exist within math.
Okay.
Well, I think the idea was suggested by Sean as well, and I'm kind of coming around to that with my original RFC was like, you know, introduce a rational subpackage to math where it's a rational and associated functions. Well, that's very limited for a subpackage. So having a rational type and then associated methods makes more sense to just have alongside the other numerics is my thought process right now.
Yeah. It seems like, so I'm looking at, I pasted the mermaid chart code into mermaid.live and I'm looking at it now. I see the new.
If you look at the rendered markdown, you can see the mermaid plots. Oh, really? Automatically. Yeah.
Nice. Well, that's cool. So GitHub does that automatically? That's pretty nifty.
Yep. I think it does it in everything except for, oh goodness, it was introduced in GIST last week. I think it's like, oh goodness, I can't even remember now. There's like one or two places where mermaid plots are not automatically processed anymore.
Pretty cool. All right. Yeah, I was unaware of that. It renders horribly with my inverted colors. Okay. So uninverting here in a moment. So the key question, I see complex and rational and big float, and I should be seeing big int somewhere. Yes, I do. Would these be new concrete types, all of them, like a new class for each one of those four?
Correct.
Okay.
It would implement the traits or interfaces that are above them.
Okay.
And then for complex and rational, I added in which trait they're actually going to be parameterized on.
Have you already, I imagine, so let me ask this first. Like, so for example, are you expecting these to be vowel classes that don't have any fun ref methods? Is that your expectation? Or are you expecting to be able to like be mutable to where you could like change the number inside a big int instance?
I mean, I would prefer them to be implemented like the other numerics that we currently have, but I don't think, like if I use rational as an example, like I can't implement rational as a primitive because it has to have internal numerator and denominator.
Yeah, it definitely wouldn't be a primitive, but I would, but yeah. Are you thinking it would be a class vowel with a bunch of fun box or fun vowel methods?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to, if you were picturing it as having fun ref methods, I wanted to point out that that probably would not match the traits. That could be a potential issue. And the other thing would be, I guess, to just kind of to advise you to kind of look through the traits and make sure all the methods in the, maybe you've already done this, but you know, all the methods in the real and integer traits can be implemented. Oh, and the floating point trait. Make sure they can be implemented by those new types, that we're not going to run into an issue there.
Yeah.
Yeah, with all that said, I think my default position would be to suggest that they don't go in the built-in package, because I think built-in is generally for like very, very widely used things, and also things that are necessary for being in built-in, either because they themselves use pointer arithmetic or because they rely on things that use pointer arithmetic.
Okay.
What
are your thoughts on if we ignore where these numerics are going for a moment, splitting this RFC into making, you know, the existing 200, the introduction of these new numerics, and we can debate where they go and exactly how we want them to work, but then taking all of the other suggestions that I made for like a constant sub package and a, I don't even remember what all I have in here.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, splitting it up makes sense to me. Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Like mathematical series, like that obviously isn't going to fit in introduced numerics or new numeric types.
Yeah.
I'll get it split out so we can debate the merits separately rather than
right.
having this massive RFC where like there's a lot of moving parts to it, which, you know, you can reject on quality merits for one reason or another.
Yeah, I think splitting up makes sense. Sounds good. Pull request 193 in the RFC's repo. This was about making array iterator classes private to hide implementation from the client. That's the name of this RFC. It looks like, so the last comment is, so the original poster of the RFC pull request is not interested in pursuing it further at this time, due to maybe lack of bandwidth or lack of support for the RFC. Ryan, I guess your last comment was asking if anyone else in the community has the bandwidth needed to take over the RFC. So I'll just reiterate that question here on the call. If somebody in the community wants to champion RFC pull request 193 and try to shepherd it along, then that would be, you know, appropriate and helpful to anyone who's interested in seeing this move forward. Yeah. Let's take a look at the next. We have an issue in the RFC's repo called expose the pony version during compile time. This is, let's see, the latest discussion from Sean on this topic was, I'm wondering if there are a reason if we added compile time expressions that this wouldn't be possible, something like if const expression from C++. I have worries about this as a general feature, but I'm interested if compile time expressions could make this possible if we expose the version values. I think I'll leave the discuss during sync on this here because Sean's not actually here today with us in the sync call to discuss this further. I think, yes, compile time expressions would be a harmonious feature for a feature that exposes the pony version during compile time. I also think that the compile time expressions is a rather large feature to, there's a lot to discuss there. So I'll leave it at that. And I'll leave the label on this issue ticket so that we can discuss again when Sean is back in the development sync. So moving on now to the Pony C repo, we have two open pull requests. The first one is 4036, make the verify pass on by default. This has the do not merge label on it because we have to fix some remaining issues that are caught by the verify pass. We need to fix those other issue tickets before we can merge this. I'm going to remove the discuss during sync label here because there's not much to discuss. And then we have pull request 4018, which was just merged. I think this doesn't need any more discussion. I reviewed it this morning. Sean merged it, so that's great. Taking a look at... Let's move over into the Pony tutorial repo and take a look at the three tickets there. Let's look at Pony tutorial ticket 495. Pony test example code should use no doc. Sean says, I believe demonstrating code best practices is a general ideal for the tutorial with the caveat that unless it blurs the point, I think this should be the case in the Pony test section that adding no doc to the test code that we have throughout the standard library and the various pointing libraries makes sense. And that it will draw attention to the existence of the annotation. So the drawback he says is that none of the syntax highlighters we use understand annotations. And so the syntax highlighting will be broken. I would suggest that we, before we introduce it into the tutorial, that we would get syntax highlighting working. I don't know if others have thoughts about that.
I don't have any immediate problem one way or the other. I'm trying to think of which syntax highlighter I use and how it ends up rendering. I mean, I'd want to see it because if it like throws it completely off, then that's more confusing than it needs to be. But if it just has a limited breakdown of highlighting, then maybe.
Yeah, I think you'd be mostly concerned about whatever is doing the rendering of the tutorial, which is that. Is that pigment or rouge? I'm not sure.
I can't remember at this point.
Yeah, I mean, in editors is one thing, right? But the tutorial, I don't know, it'd be great to put a best foot forward and not have it be broken. But like you said, if it only skips highlighting for that one term, just the annotation, then that's probably fine. But if it breaks highlighting for the rest of what follows, that's not as fine. Okay. I'm going to take the label off of this one. I think right after I type up a comment. Okay, so I'm writing that I think we should fix the syntax highlighter that renders the tutorial before updating the tutorial. Okay, so Moving on now to issue ticket 408 in the Pony tutorial section. This is titled Add Runtime Basics to the tutorial. So this is, this had some discussion in 2019, scrolling down through a lot of it, and then...
I can talk on this one.
Great.
Because this was pretty much one of my first big, like, let me tackle a large problem in the tutorial. And then, of course, the pandemic hit, and I worked as an epidemiologist up until a month-ish ago. So where this left off is I had some ideas on like the best structure moving forward, but I just was not finding the time to get it done. So what Sean did is he pulled over all of the work that I had previously done into a runtime basics branch on this repo. And if anybody wants to take over from what I was doing, it is available to do work on. If I get back to it, great, but I have no current plans to hop back onto this.
Okay, yeah, no problem. I'm removing the discussed during sync label in that case, and also removing your assignment from the ticket. And you can always reassign yourself if you do, you know, have plans to resume, or someone else can be assigned if they have plans to do so.
Sounds good. And if anybody does take over it, I'm willing to review the changes, discuss what my thought process was, if my notes on what my plan was are a little bit obscure and difficult to understand.
Yeah, that would be good. Be helpful to whoever takes that on. The next ticket we have in the Pony Tutorial repo is 340. This is add ability to run code examples in the playground. Sean says we had this sort of on the old tutorial, but it didn't get migrated over. He says I went looking through the MakeDocs material for this functionality, didn't see it. I'm going to reach out to the author and see if I missed the functionality. Otherwise, I'll put in a feature request. And so it looks like there was a feature request filed. So Sean links the feature request. And it says we can do some custom CSS and JavaScript. That's not really my thing, but someone could take this on. And he labeled it good first issue and help wanted. So if anybody listening out there wants to help make the tutorial more interactive and convenient, and wants to use their CSS and JavaScript skills to do so, that would be a good ticket to look at. That's Pony Tutorial Repo, issue ticket 340. I'm removing the discuss during sync label. And we can move on now to the Pony C repo. Let's see. We have 4038 and 4037. Both of which Sean assigned to me and I have not looked at yet. These are LLVM IR verification failures that block us from using verify by default because these are failures that happen. So this is an indication of something wrong in the code generation section of the compiler. Yeah, I've not had time to look at these. I'm gonna leave the discuss during sync label on there. If anybody else wants to learn about LLVM IR code gen and wants to like pick one of these up as a you know, as a learning task, I'm more than happy to do any kind of, you know, mentoring or pairing on that. That would be, I always like helping people learn new things they're interested in. So that's an option on the table. Next, we have issue ticket 4023, improve libponyc run execution time. So this is, the most recent activity is Sean asking Gordon and I about an approach for running the libponyc run tests in parallel, but not having the output get interleaved. Sean put forward a suggestion, and I put forward a different suggestion, but I'm also okay with Sean's suggestion. But I'll leave this discuss during sync label on this because, yeah, Sean's not here, Gordon's not here. There's not much to do. I've already said my piece in the comment, so yeah, not much to say there. I'll go ahead and ask now, does anybody here on the call have any special topics they want to address while we're here together? Otherwise, we can continue with a few more of the auto-generated agenda items. Okay, in that case, we'll continue. We have 4023, or we just read that one. We have 4015. Confusing type name on error messages with function lookup on lambda types. So this is filed by Borja. The following code fails to compile as expected. However, the error message has dollar sign names in it. Dollar sign names are used internally by the compiler for sort of anonymous types or anonymous variables that are sort of hygienically generated as part of the expansion of the code that the compiler does. And so, Borja says, internally to the compiler, we don't have a proper name for lambdas, so it's not clear what would be the appropriate type to put in the error message. The piece of code responsible for this is in lookup nominal inside lookup.c. The above happens for explicit lambdas, object literals, and partial application. So, yes, Sean says it should be possible to know that we have a lambda type thing at the point of the error and change the message to couldn't find string in lambda f or something like that. So, it's an interesting one. It's a little bit tricky, I think, because so we have, as demonstrated in the code snippet where it says let f equals and then it has like a lambda. I guess it's not really demonstrated there, is it? But we do have a concept of lambda types, which are essentially a convenient inline way to create an interface. And the interface is then matched by any lambda that takes those arguments and returns that return type. So we have a, you know, a notion of a lambda type, which is really an interface. And then when we have a concrete lambda, a specific instantiation of a lambda, or not really instantiation, a specific instance of a lambda, it is given an anonymous concrete type with this sort of dollar sign based name that adheres to those interfaces, but it's not actually tied in to the interfaces themselves. It's like it's a concrete type and it has no direct knowledge of the interface it's supposed to adhere to, I think. So it's a little bit tricky because, it's easy to hide the dollar sign name, but it's more tricky to come up with like an actual helpful thing to put there, which ideally would be like the associated lambda interface. You kind of would have to, like, once you realize you're looking at something that's lambda-ish, you'd have to like generate an interface from it. But then for an object type, there's no succinct way to write an object type interface. So that's not super helpful. I'm trying to think of a nice way around that. And at this time, I don't have one. I'm typing up a quick comment there. Does anybody have any other thoughts on this while I'm typing?
I do not. This is one of those deals with internal compiler stuff, so I'm not sure what would be good and bad about solving this problem. Hopefully I will before too long. I'm working through a compiler book so that I can better understand how all of this actually works.
Yeah, well, if you ever want some, you know, pairing or whatever, you have some particular question, I'm always open to helping people work through things and understanding the compiler. That's something, like I said, I enjoy doing it, and I enjoy getting people some of that knowledge so that they can, you know, go deeper in their own learning. So it's open to you or also anyone else listening along.
I mean, you already helped me read LLVMIR for the is prime function that I added to math.
Oh, right, yeah.
I had to get the, what's the proper term? The static allocations. And it created a giant, it was a giant match table is basically how we solved it. It's like, well, I never would have thought to do that to get the result that actually works best.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, statically allocated things are interesting. I'm going to finish typing up this comment and then we can move on. So yeah, I'm writing the concrete Lambda class / primitive has no inherent link to the Lambda interface type that has, which has a nice way to print it. But also object literals may have multiple methods and thus no nice way to print even an interface for it. And yeah, so it may be best just to leave the type leave the desired type unnamed on that. Well, couldn't find string in. So yeah, what would a helpful version of that look like? There's no desired type that we're matching it against that it's failing to match against. Like that would be helpful if it were true. But it's not true. So it's like we have I wonder if we can get back to the creation of it. Oh, but we don't know it has a name. I was gonna say we could link back to the declaration line that says let f with the function, but this particular example has f as a named variable, but not every example would. So
is there issue with saying like, what would be a way to put this? To basically say like couldn't find string in Lambda and then like, sort of reproduce, you know, takes these types, produces this type. Like, what's the issue with just taking it from like a strictly functional perspective of like what transformation is being applied by this particular Lambda? I think the issue is that Lambdas become object literals, don't they? Or is it the, yeah, it works that way.
Yeah, they become object literals, and they also, and then the object literal in turn becomes an anonymous type. Maybe the anonymous type doesn't have a link back to any sort of like like I said, doesn't have a link back to the Lambda interface type that could indicate, like, it has, which has a nice way of printing it. So you'd have to kind of like reconstruct that. But for the general object literal case, it, like I said, it may have multiple methods. And so there's, we have no nice way of printing it, like the equivalent of a Lambda type that has actually multiple methods. We don't have a type signature for that kind of.
And I think that's kind of where my mental block on this is because a way to, you know, solve it for Lambdas isn't really going to solve it the same way for object literals and partial application, where it happens for all of these, as mentioned by is that Borja?
Yeah.
Not familiar with everybody's usernames yet.
Yeah. Probably the best thing we could do is print, or sorry, maybe not the best, but the best and easiest, or like, you know, the right intersection of best and easy would be to detect, like, just to print like the name of it. So something along these lines, which I just now commented there. So couldn't find string in, you know, that type. Or even better, it should probably just say like anonymous type. That's not super great either, but it's better than cryptic dollar signs. So like couldn't find string in anonymous type. And then it says it only has a method named apply, and it points to the Lambda where it was created, or it points to wherever that method is defined. And so if it were an object literal, it would point to, and we probably need to write that like generically for the plural case. So yeah, it has a method named apply. So yeah, for the object literal case, we'd like print like every method it has. If it was like underneath some heuristic number, like we don't probably want to print like 100 method object literal, but that's not very likely. So that's the best I can come up with that's actually easy to implement. That's my suggestion. I'll remove the disgusting sync label from this. Anybody else have thoughts about this? Okay. Well, we're a little bit early to be ending this call, but I personally have to take care of some other things here at the end of this hour. I think we should leave it here. Thanks everyone for listening along to the recording later and for attending in person. We appreciate your interest and support. Thanks. Bye.